From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 15th day of July 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Jake Benjamin, a senior trader with Louis Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the energy markets from his Kansas City office. Just before that, we'll hear about the crop conditions in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. USDA yesterday released a crop conditions report that showed the corn crop was nearly as good this year as last, although it is lagging well behind in development. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $8.11, down 7 for the afternoon. December futures 7.5 cents lower at 834 3/4. And the March soft red at 857, down 8 cents. September corn futures 15.5 cents lower, 648 1/4. The settlement price December at 666 3/4, 15 1/2 lower. And the March contract down 15 cents even at $6.85 1/4. May futures 697 1/4, down 15 cents as well. August soybean futures $15.42, down 40 today. September at 15.28, 40.5 lower. And November beans $15.16 on their settlement price, down 43 cents. January futures at 15.31.5, down 43 as well. August bean meal futures at $421.80, a settlement price down $13.10. The August bean oil, 63.03, down 76. August live cattle futures, 99.60, 47.5 higher. October futures at 106.87.5, up 47.5. August feeders at 111.45, $1.27.5 higher, and September's at 113.85, up $1.15 on the afternoon. July lean hog futures in Chicago at the CME Group's Mercantile Exchange signed 74.62.5. Down 17.5 cents. The August contract at 75.07.5, up 32.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL in Urbana, Illinois. Here's what the outside markets are doing this afternoon. The nearby August crude oil futures trading at $138.70, down $6.48 for the day. September futures at $138.65, down $7.13. August ethanol futures down 10 3/10 at $2.59 9/10. September at $2.58 5/10, off 10 1/10 for the day. Natural gas trading the August at $11.46 3/10. That's down 49 6/10. September futures at $11.55 1/10. 49 9/10 lower for the afternoon. August gasoline prices, this is the RBOB, 338 even, 17 7/10 lower. Heating oil trading the August at 391 6/10, down 14 8/10. That's diesel fuel. August propane at $1.99, up 7/10 on the afternoon. And the gold futures are trading July at $5 higher at this hour. $977.70 is the current trade. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,073. This is about 15 minutes old, but still the tick 20 points higher. The U.S. dollar for the afternoon at 71.79 is down 0.12. And the CRB index for the day at $450.73. That's down 8 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. Our own Mike Sola says tonight skies will be mostly clear. Lows will range from 62 in eastern Indiana to near 70 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says it'll be mostly sunny. Highs will range between 88 and 94. The extended forecast says beneficial drying will continue in most locations into the weekend. Totally dry weather, though, unlikely. But outside of the far northern Illinois, the trend is for drier and warmer air right on through next week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to talk about the futures markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, afternoon, Todd.
I had a question from a listener, not just any listener, actually Clarence Shuddy, called in. And if anybody is in the southern part of the state, they probably know Mr. Shuddy. He asked about the Wabash River. I was talking about that on the air during the end of the program yesterday. Telling them that it had changed course and cut off something between 1,700 and 2,700 acres. I think there were about 12 farmers involved in that, and he wanted to know exactly where it was. I don't know Indiana very well. It's in the deep southern part in Posey County and a place called the McKay Bend. Now, the Wabash tends to wander around in about a 30 or 40-mile wide range down there, and it changes course, I think, not often, but from time to time. And this is one of those loops out there on the Wabash that they suspected would have some pressure on it during a flood season, that it might cut that loop off, and indeed it did. So that's in the McKay Bend, or Mackey Bend, I guess, is actually probably the better pronunciation, in Posey County, Indiana. But that's not the reason we moved the market today, that's for sure. And the market did indeed move. It was lower across the board. Lost 15.5 cents in the corn. And then the beans, surprisingly, I guess, I think maybe to me, down 40 cents. I suppose some of this came in response to yesterday afternoon's numbers from the USDA NAS that showed a crop in the corn that was only 1 percentage point off the mark from last season.
Yeah, but only 2% better than the week before, and you know, so that was right within line. But the beans not improving at all, and showing no improvement, down 43 cents. But the real news, I think, Todd, was crude oil saw a break. We saw institutions selling 20,000 contracts of crude in less than 10 minutes. I actually literally watched crude oil deteriorate just about $7. Well, I was talking to one individual, you know, just it was amazing to see it deteriorate and watch everything happen in the grains at the same time. And along with that, you know, news that the SEC might be investigating trading and sent out letters to 50 institutions. I think that gave us a feeling of sort of that funds were liquidators of beans, somewhere in the 15 to 16,000 contracts, 8 to 10,000 beans, and, you know, 3,000 wheat. And when all that's happening and crude falling apart, why, there's very few buyers stepping forward, and it makes for, with no safety nets, you know, being pulled out of the way by any of the people that were going to be buyers, fell rather fast and hard. And once it got down and broke a lot of the chart points, why, just had a lot of people scared at the end of the day. So I think that that's, you know, what happened, basically.
So we had a high price today at 146.20 in the crude, the low currently at 138.45, trading in 138.70, down 648 in the nearby August contract. Are there reasons other than what you've given to this point that the crude began to fold?
Well, I think a couple of things. Of course, Chairman Bernanke was talking. Also at the same time, President Bush was talking, and both of their speeches or talks or comments indicated that they were going to try to support the dollar. They'd like to get energy prices a little lower and concern about the economy. And a lot of talk amongst other private individuals and on MSNBC and different places we listen to about how most Americans pay for gas at the pump with credit cards. And a lot of them haven't been cutting back, and they've been using their credit card and not thinking a lot about it. And as we look at credit card debt, it has increased greatly over the last, since the gas prices have. And there's a little bit of fear that some of these might be getting close to being maxed out. And then will we see some real pressure as to people, if they can't just go use their credit card, will they have the cash to come out of their other savings to do that and set back? So they're looking for, you know, a little less supply or a little less demand for the gasoline out of reduced usage.
You know, we could call that forced conservation, I suppose.
I think that's forced conservation, Todd. But, you know, I think that this is nothing new. I believe we talked about this over a year ago in Commodity Week one Saturday. I think Mr. Cooley brought it up, in fact.
Yeah, indeed. I believe you're correct. That's a good program. If you haven't heard it, you can listen to it at willag.org. Just click the Commodity Week links. You can hear the program. It's a weekend program. We talk about the markets for half an hour. Let's go ahead and turn back our attention to the marketplace at hand, the futures in Chicago. We lost 15.5 cents in the corn. You can almost see that off of yesterday, off of what happened yesterday from the NAS reports. And then, of course, the crude oil dropping. But the soybeans was a pretty substantial loss, 40 cents in the beans. And those numbers didn't seem to jive so well. And I guess if you really look outside the door, and I don't like to look just outside and say what crops look like, but here, and I think across a good portion of the Midwest, the bean crop doesn't look very good.
Bean crop's way behind, Todd. We've got a lot of double crop beans that were first crop beans. Basically, they were put out the time that most people would think of putting double crops out. And stop and think, our double crop yield is generally 10 to 15 bushel less than first plant crop beans that way. So as we look at that, as we consider the reduced acres, we consider the tightness, as we consider the carryout tightness going on, it's somewhat of a surprising thing that we hit beans as hard as we did today. So, and I'm, as I said over the weekend on Commodity Week, and as I said this morning, I'm actually a little more friendly towards the bean market and the corn, and then it sort of made a fool of me today as far as it reacted. But we still think that there's some tightness. If you look at the basis, we hear that the basis level tightened in 8 to 9 cents on the cash basis on beans at the river, Upper Illinois River, today. So, you know, there's demand that way, and it is looking that way. We don't see the basis tightening in on the corn.
Do you hear much or anything at all about the release from FarmDoc yesterday on the crop weather model that they have? That's at the FarmDoc website.
I did not see that, Todd.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's got some interesting numbers. Shows what, from here on out, from July 1, what the crop would yield based on this crop weather, if we had normal conditions, if we have good conditions, and if we have rotten conditions. And the numbers are a little bigger than you might suspect, I suppose. There's several 12 billions in there. So maybe that had some impact as well, but we'll talk about that one at a later date. Anything else that we need to discuss with you this afternoon before I let you go?
I think that, you know, we did see a little bit of positiveness over in the livestock because of the feed costs going down just a little bit, Todd. But, you know, long term, these higher prices of grains are going to reduce the livestock stands.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joined us on the Closing Mark Report, happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm your host, University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. USDA NAS yesterday afternoon released the latest crop progress reports. It shows 64% of the corn crop nationwide is in good or excellent condition. That's up just a bit from the previous week and only one percentage point off pace from last year. 13% of the corn crop has silk compared to last year's 50%. And the rolling five-year average of 36%. Nationwide, 59% of the soybeans are said to be in good or excellent condition. 26% of them are blooming. That compares to 54% last year and 45% on the rolling five-year average. We'll have the complete set of numbers from statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Nebraska in a moment. The Iowa statistician did not report in this morning. Those numbers look like this for corn, 58% in good to excellent condition, but it's well behind schedule with just 1% of the Iowa corn crop silking at this point. That compares to last year's 39% and the rolling five-year average of 22%.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 13th. The week ended with temperatures averaging near normal, while precipitation averaged over 2 inches above normal. The heavy downpours left standing water in many fields, delaying spraying activities, in addition to hampering haying and wheat harvest. Statewide, topsoil moisture was on the rise again and was rated 3% short, 69% adequate, and 28% surplus. The wettest area of the state was reported in the west southwestern crop reporting district, where 42% of the soils were rated surplus. Growing degree days since May 1 at 1,296 units still trailed the historic average by 98. Now taking a look at crop progress for the week, 14% of the corn crop was in the silk stage, well behind the 82% 1 year ago and 64% 5 year average. 1% was reported in the dough stage. Overall, the crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. For soybeans, blooming has occurred on 24% of the crop, trailing last year's 65% and the 54% 5 year average. 2% of the crop has begun setting pods compared with 10% normally. The soybean crop was also rated in fair to mostly good condition. 82% of the soft red winter wheat crop had been harvested by week's end compared to the 95% 5 year harvest average. In other crops around the state, 7% of the oat crop was reported harvested. Sorghum is 14% headed, and the third cutting of alfalfa is just getting underway at 7% complete. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending July 13, 2008. Warmer, drier conditions allowed wheat harvest in the southern counties to gain momentum, but progress is still 11 days behind the average. Corn is just starting to silk. Overall, corn conditions rated 73% good or excellent, near last year's crop rating. Nearly a quarter of the soybeans are blooming, with three-quarters of the crop in the good or excellent category. Oat conditions are rated mostly good or excellent, and harvest has begun. Dry beans are starting to bloom. Three-quarters of the alfalfa acreage rated good or excellent, with second cutting more than a quarter of the way complete. Pasture range and wild hay conditions are mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 13, 2008. Small grains started ripening this past week, well behind last year and the five-year average pace. Warm weather across the state continued to aid small grain development, with nearly three-quarters of the crop reaching the heading stage. Adequate topsoil moisture supplies across the Northwest District have helped improve the crop condition rating in dry beans, sunflowers, and canola. The average temperature for the week was 68.9 degrees, 8-tenths of a degree below normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 6% very short, 24% short, 66% adequate, and 4% surplus. Statewide, there were an average of 5.8 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. As of Sunday, July 13th, the average corn height was estimated at 46 inches, compared to 72 inches last year and 59 inches for the five-year average. The average height of soybeans was 13 inches, compared to 19 inches last year and 16 inches for the average. 28% of the soybeans were blooming, compared to 59% last year and 45% for the average. Spring wheat was 4% ripening, compared to 35% last year and 22% for the average. 13% of the oats were ripening, compared to 67% last year and 41% for the average. 5% of the barley was ripening, compared to 49% last year and 28% for the average. As of Friday, July 11th, 71% of the corn and 69% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. For spring wheat, 73% was rated in good or excellent condition, 77% of the oats and 73% of the barley were rated in good to excellent condition. 61% of the dry beans, 74% of the sunflowers, and 77% of the canola was rated in good or excellent condition. And for pastures, 61% were rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending July 13, 2008. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending July 13th. Thunderstorms, winds, and heavy showers arrive later in the week in portions of the state. The all-too-familiar sight of standing water in bottom and low-lying areas resulted. Many of these areas were recently replanted for the last time and are underwater or in saturated soils again. Planting of double-crop soybeans following the winter wheat harvest continued. Several early planted corn fields were reported as entering the silking stage, while some reporters noted that corn tasseling and corn only 2 feet tall were in the same rows. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 3% short, 77% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 3% short, 73% adequate, and 23% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.48 to 4.06 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 93 to a low of 55 degrees. For the week, 4.5 days were rated as suitable for field work. 8% of the planted corn acreage has silked, compared with 57% last year and 42% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 63% good to excellent, compared to 43% last year at this time. 18% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 48% for last year and 40% for the five-year average. The soybean condition improved slightly and was rated at 59% good to excellent, compared to 40% last year at this time. The winter wheat harvest is 68% complete, compared to 94% for last year and 85% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to talk about the energy markets just a bit. From Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City, Mike Barwinski joins us this afternoon, filling in, I think, permanently now for Jake Benjamin. Mike will be joining us on the third Tuesdays of the month. Good afternoon to you, Mike, and thanks much for doing that for us.
Good afternoon. My pleasure.
Well, let's start. You get to start off your career here at WILL and the Closing Mark Report on a really interesting note. Tell me about the marketplace drop in the crude oil futures.
Yeah, it's definitely been a pretty interesting day. Crude's trading in almost a $10 range from high to low price, actually over a $10 range. I'd say you were definitely due for some retracement after your run up to 145. Really, I believe what's been happening now, what most traders would agree with, is that you just have a great deal of market speculation going on. I mean, if you looked at this market a year ago, you would definitely say there's no way you can have a 4.5% to 5% drawback or increase on any given day. But then again, we're in a different market situation today where you have a lot of dollars in the market that just aren't looking at fundamental reasons.
You called this a retracement. You still think 150 is in the offing, or is it just depend on what Washington does?
You know, I think Washington, you know, personally, looking at a cynical point of view, may just do a lot of political posturing in the meantime and may not get anything actually done to stop energy speculation. But whether or not that scares people away, you could still see it go up to 150, but you could also see enough money scaring out of the market to bring it back down to 130 or 120. I think that's actually a main reason for the pullback today. You had people not only scared of inflation commentary from Ben Bernanke, but you also had a fear of the SEC increased regulation into the energy markets.
And very quickly, maybe 10 seconds, what kind of impact does it have on the ethanol market?
I think it gives a lot of support to ethanol, one way or the other. You've seen corn take a big retracement the last couple of weeks, 64 cents as of yesterday, and then get another 15 cents a day. So I think it's maybe allowing ethanol to break a little bit away from the corn market.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus Commodities. He's in Kansas City at their office. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Illinois House met for about half an hour today before adjourning. Some House committees are meeting this afternoon. A House Republican budget negotiator calls the special session an exercise in futility. The Democrat-controlled House has a chance to reverse some of the $1.4 billion cut from the budget by Governor Rod Blagojevich last week. But even if they do so, the Illinois Senate would have to go along, and there's no sign they'll cooperate. The House is expected to be in session until Thursday. The Rantoul Village Board meets tonight to interview a finalist for its vacant village administrator position. Mayor Neil Williams hopes to have hired someone by early September. He says no other interviews have been scheduled, but officials are still reviewing resumes. The village has had to conduct two searches to fill the position since former Administrator David Johnston resigned in January. State officials say overall fatalities on Illinois roads are down 19% in the first 6 months of this year. The Illinois Department of Transportation says there have been 484 fatalities so far this year, compared to 598 in the same period last year. Campaign finance documents show that Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels still has a big campaign cash advantage over his Democratic challenger, Jill Long Thompson. Thompson raised $1.6 million to the Republican governor's $1.8 million in the latest reporting period, but Daniels started with nearly $5 million more. Exelon, owner of ComEd, as well as several nuclear plants in Illinois, says it will slash its greenhouse gas emissions and those of its customers below current annual levels by 2020. Exelon says much of the reduction will come from cutting its own energy consumption, helping customers reduce their energy use, and expanding its nuclear power operations. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Just a quick reminder to have you visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. In a moment, we'll talk to Don Day about the agricultural weather forecast.
Made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
And tell me about the weather for the Midwest, please.
Well, boy, it sure looks like July. It's going to be a pattern of warm. We're not looking at any excessive rainfall, but we see a summertime weather pattern setting up, and right now going to be hanging around and basically going to be a pattern that's going to give us warm temperatures and occasional thunderstorm activity, but I don't see anything going one way or the other. The pendulum won't swing too hot or too dry and not too cool or too wet. I guess we call this the Goldilocks forecast, just right.
Just right, although we do have 90-degree days scheduled, I think, for the Midwest over
We do. We do have some heat, and there will be some humidity with it. There will be, however, a couple of systems that will come in that will temper the heat a little bit as we get to the middle to the end of next week. But we were due for some hotter weather, but I don't think it's going to get itself too well established.
Now, we've often talked about persistence in the last 6 months with rainfall continuing to come in periodic showers across the Midwest. Are we at that point where we'll change that regime?
Well, we see the focal point of the precipitation in the northern and western areas. We see places like the Dakotas, Nebraska, portions of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Those areas seem to have the best chance of the wettest weather. We are going to see some drier areas developing in southern Illinois, Indiana. The Ohio Valley, in particular, looks to be dry over the next 7 to 10 days.
If you take a look at the rest of the nation, harvest season continuing for the hard red winter wheat.
No real problems there. Now, they have had some rain, but it's been falling in areas where they've gotten a lot of the harvesting done already. But if there's going to be any delays from harvest weather, it'll be from some shower and thunderstorm activity, but nothing extraordinary.
How about the rest of the planet? What do you see?
Well, if we go and look at the southern hemisphere in the winter season down in South America, not a lot going on right now. Argentina's been able to get a little bit of moisture. Many areas of Brazil has been drier. Many areas in Australia, same thing. There has been a little bit of precipitation in some of the southern areas and the eastern areas, but they've been a little bit dry as well. And if we were to go over to China, well, they have been persistently moist, and their forecast is for more rain over most of that country.
Anything else we ought to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that'll do her.
Okay, thanks much. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on Tuesday afternoons here on the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website, the address, WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.